Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You know that old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Well, for many people, the answer isn't practice, 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 but why would I want to? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and next month, a series of orchestras are hoping to lure you to Carnegie Hall with their most creative programs. And that series also includes a kind of fantasy baseball contest for classical music fans, where you get to say what kinds of pieces would get you out to the concert hall. We'll open the phones and hear some of your ideas. And if you're thinking, you know, a symphony about the borough of Queens would be just the thing, well, you're in luck, because Queens is about to get a new multicultural multimedia symphony called 1001 Voices, and we'll hear all about that as well. Let's start, though, by looking at how classical concerts are usually put together. You start with an overture, followed by a concerto with a big-name soloist, and then after intermission, a big symphony, maybe by Brahms or this guy, Beethoven. Nothing wrong with that, but the Spring for Music series is after something a little more inventive, like offering you a chance to make up a fantasy program. Spring for Music's artistic director is Tom Morris. He joins us on the line now to explain. Hi, Tom.
John, how are you?
I'm well. Spring for Music, you've got orchestras from Edmonton to Alabama coming into town next month. What do you look for in their programming?
Well, each year we send out a request for program suggestions from these orchestras. And we are really looking for simple creativity in thinking about programming, not doing the usual tried and true. As you mentioned, So many programs, overture, concerto, big symphony, and there are actually many other ways to do it. And then we select what we think are the top six, and we present them at Carnegie Hall as part of the Spring for Music Festival.
Now, this year, the second year of Spring for Music runs from May 7th through 12th. And in fact, our sister station, WQXR, is the media partner for the festival, which means they'll be airing live broadcasts each night from Carnegie Hall on 105.9 FM and online at WQXR.org. So there's that end of things, but then there's also the kind of fantasy baseball aspect of it, the fantasy program contest. You did this last year as well. Sort of tell people what it is.
Well, the idea is how many times have people who put on concerts heard from members of the public, well, I didn't like that program, I could do it a lot better. Well, this is a chance for everybody to try their hand at putting together programs. We did this last year for the first time, and it was a huge success, lots and lots of interest. And we asked people to submit a program with a rationale, short rationale for the program. Mm-hmm. They're posted on our website, and then the public is invited to vote.
Now, last year, the first contest, there were 23 submissions and thousands of people voted. Who won?
Well, there was a very wonderful young musician from New York, Peter Sachon, who won, and he came up with a very interesting program, a program that was not without controversy, but, you know, interesting programs should have some controversy.
Yeah, I would think so.
But the program was Richard Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra on the first half, and then the second half, a suite from John Williams' movie score, Superman.
All right, now which was the controversial part there?
Well, the controversial part was some people thought you shouldn't actually mix movie music or pop's music with serious music. Actually, we think that there should be fewer rules in terms of what's allowed in programming. And what is fascinating to us about this program is it dared, in fact, to cross those boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, so many boundaries in classical music, so-called classical music, in fact, all music, have boundaries which are fading. And it seems absolutely acceptable to open up standard symphony programs to other kinds of music. So this not only had an interesting sort of superhero theme to it, but it actually dared to cross a line which up to this point has been a fairly rigid one in terms of how orchestras think about programming.
So Peter Sachon won last year's contest, the Fantasy Program Contest for Spring for Music, with this program that he called Eternal Stories. Only two pieces on his program, the first one being Thus Spoke Zarathustra by Strauss. Beginning of that famous tone poem by Strauss with its inspiration from Nietzsche's Man and Superman. And in this winning program by Peter Sachon, that leads to Superman by John Williams. John Williams' score, the finale and end title march from Superman, the soundtrack. And so that pairing of orchestral pieces, one from right smack in the middle of the classical tradition and the other from Hollywood, was the winning program in the Fantasy Program Contest that Spring for Music ran last year. They have started this year's contest, began yesterday and continues through May 5th, and you can find information about how to submit and vote on your fantasy program on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And listeners, it's your turn. If you're not the kind of person who normally goes out to see classical music, what would it take musically to get you to the concert hall? What kind of programming would you think is interesting? If you're already a classical concert goer, what would you change about the experience to get some of your friends to come along? You can leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or WNYC.org. Tom Morris, Artistic Director of Spring for Music. So why is this fantasy program challenge a fantasy? Why wouldn't an orchestra want to actually take some of these ideas and put them into practice?
Well, we actually hope that orchestras will take some of these programs. I think they're fantasies in terms of people allowing people to dream up in their wildest imagination what they'd like to hear. But, you know, I think that's how all great programming is done anyway. It takes imagination. It takes coming up with crazy ideas, putting odd things together, and trying to create a sense of adventure within the concert.
So that sounds, Tom, like such a great idea. What stops orchestras from actually doing that? Why do we have the overture followed by the concerto followed by the symphony all the time?
Well, a lot of the symphony orchestra business is trapped in an economic model of ticket prices that are relatively high, and the thought is that you have to do meat and potatoes, and you have to have major concerti with major soloists in order to sell a program. I actually believe somewhat the opposite, that I have implicit faith in the audience, and they actually want a sense of adventure. And so it's a very careful balance that you need to build over the course of a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much music, and there's so much fascinating music to be played.
Well, do you think your contest, this kind of crowdsourcing approach to programming, do you think this could catch on and actually provide some orchestras with a way of tapping into, you know, what's out there in terms of what people are listening to or not listening to but wanting to hear?
Absolutely. One of the purposes of this project is not just to put on a series of concerts with a lot of interesting orchestras, with a lot of interesting programs at Carnegie Hall, but frankly to make a statement and to open up the possibilities for what programming can be.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of programming, orchestras do this sort of thing years in advance. I mean, you already know what's coming up next year, right?
We already know and we've announced what's coming up next year, and we also know what's coming up in 2014.
Now, is that part of the problem, that orchestras have to plan their music programming so far in advance and aren't nimble enough and versatile enough to kind of respond to things that are happening in the day?
I don't think it's a problem at all. I think you can be very creative several years in advance, and then you have to have ultimately the confidence that if there's a really good idea about adjusting a program that you're going to play next month and it makes a lot of sense, why shouldn't you make it better and more interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed that. And I think you never stop obsessing with how to make programs more interesting and more attractive.
We're speaking with Tom Morris. He's the artistic director of the annual Spring for Music Festival, returning for its second season next month at Carnegie Hall between May 7th and 12th. The orchestras come from as far away as Edmonton and as close as the New Jersey Symphony, all of them chosen for their inventive and creative programming. The Houston Symphony kicks off the festival on Monday, May 7th, with a program that presents two sides of Shostakovich, the subversive and the guy who, for whatever reason, chose to glorify the Soviet Union sometimes, as in this symphony called The Year 1905. Tom, that'll be a great way to kick off the series. Good luck with the contest, and have a great time with all of those submissions that are going to be coming in.
Thanks. Well, we hope we get lots, and we hope everyone will come to these great concerts.
You can, again, check out details on what's coming up and how to submit your fantasy program or vote on others on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Up next, it's our Soundcheck Focus Group. We want to hear what kind of music programming would get you to Carnegie Hall. Again, you can leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And then later, we'll talk with composer Frank London and writer Judith Sloan about a new symphony inspired by the Borough of Queens.
Oh,